We've been spending a lot of time talking about Achanos. Let's speak very briefly on Kippur itself, and let's speak a little bit about the mitzvah of Sukkah. From Kippur, as you know, as the opening mission of the last parak of Yuma tells us, there are five Isurim on Yom Kippur. Achilo Shtia count as one. And then Rechitza Sicha, Nilas HaSandal, and Tashmish Hamita. Those last four, bathing, putting on the creams and lotions, wearing shoes, and the marital intimacy, so those four are called the Shaar Inuyim, the other Inuyim, as opposed to eating and drinking. Why is that? Because eating and drinking, the Torah says, is a lav with karis. It speaks to the intense power of Yom Kippur that there are two Isuri karis associated with Yom Kippur. Doing malacha Yom Kippur is a lav chamer, a lav with karis, and eating and drinking Yom Kippur is a lav chamer, a lav with karis. Then the Shaar Inuyim are also forbidden, but there's no karis. So that's already intriguing. Well, they're usher, but no karis. So, why? Are they including v'nisim, or they're not including v'nisim? They're including v'nisim, it should be with karis. If they're not including v'nisim, it should be mutter. And the Gemara, in the opening dapim of the last perek, has other drushes, a series of other drushes. In one place, the Gemara even says, Hani chamishinim k'neged mi. This number five, you know where they correspond to. Which by the Tosfos point out, Keneged Mi doesn't sound like a drasha d'oraisa. Where it says, you have five different uses of the term Inui, so it corresponds to each of these five Inuyim, eating and drinking, and the other four. So the language, the way the Gemara speaks about the sources in Sukkim doesn't sound like this drasha's Gemuras. And then by the Tosfos also point out that the dinim, the content, doesn't sound like Isurim d'oraisa. Because not only because there's no karis, so that sort of puts it not really inui, but also because the opening mission already tells us that yes, these four inuim are aser, but there are exceptions which you would not expect to find by a din doraisa. Pikuach nefesh that we expect to find. That's an important point to make. Even eating and drinking, the mishnayos are very, very clear that it is not only permitted, but absolutely a chiyuv to eat and drink in Yom Kippur if there's a hazard to life, or there's even a suffix hazard to life. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, Gemara has a very strong terminology. The Gemara says a person who hesitates and doesn't take care of someone right away could be a potential reza shofech damim. You may be a murderer. You may be responsible for that person's loss of life. I hesitated to mechal Yom Kippur on his behalf, and as a result, he perished. Rachman Atlan. But Chazal even say, Hanishal Maguneh, the one who gets asked to be shilas, it's embarrassing to be asked to shilas. It's a low level. What does that mean? So what that means, apparently, is that if the Rav didn't prepare his Baal Batim in advance, and didn't explain to him in advance, you should know through the Sub Pikuch Nefesh, Yes Mechal Shabbos, Yes Mechal Yom Kippur, and they thought that they have to ask a shayla. It's Shabbos. You're not sure if the fellow needs to go to the hospital or not. And now we're epkebepking when there's a real safek sakana. So it's even the rav of the town who didn't train his baal batim to appreciate the severity of safek sakana, he bears responsibility. I believe that my father-in-law, when he had a rabbanan position for a number of years, I think the first Shabbos Shuva drasha was about halachas of pikuach nefesh. Because of that, Mamar Chazal. That's a responsibility of the Rav to make sure that the Baal Batim understand that Pikuach Nefesh, even Safi Pikuach Nefesh, is Doch HaShabbos, Doch Yom Kippur. There are stories of people who refuse to eat Yom Kippur because even the doctor, the cardiologist said, it's dangerous for you to fast. But the fellow decided, no, I fasted for the last 87 years, I think I'm going to stop fasting now. And the real answer is, Adraba. For the last 87 years, you've kept Ratzon Hashem on Yom Kippur by fasting, and now you're going to keep Ratzon Hashem once again. It happens to be this year, Ratzon Hashem is that you should eat. But we do things because that's what Rav Shlomo wants of us. And that's very important. So, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha, eating and drinking. I'm talking about a far lower level, no hazard to health. Mishnah says a woman just got married, so maybe she has the right to wash her face. So she shouldn't, during the opening weeks of the marriage, she shouldn't look less than attractive. Mishnah says if someone is somewhat ill and the cold would be difficult, so you have the right, and the only shoes you have available are shoes you're not allowed to wear in Yom Kippur, so you have the right to wear those shoes. A chayitim woman just had a baby, no hazards. No, her life is not in danger at all, but it's going to be, if she's weak, it's going to be uncomfortable to walk on the cold floor, she has a right to wear shoes. So those, Mishnah says that the king has a right to wash his face, because the king should always appear in public in a very elegant, inspiring way. Melech b'yafyot techazanenech. These are very difficult sarachim to war and violate an Issa d'oraisa. It's Issa d'rabbanan, so then that's not surprising, because Heim Amru, the Heim Amru, when Chazal create the Din d'rabbanan, when they invent the Din d'rabbanan, they have the right to legislate the details however they want to. So if they say Heim Amru, they said it's Aser. If Heim Amru, they said, but in this case it's Mutter. So they have all sorts of exceptions. Lutzorek is something we expect by Din d'rabbanan, but we don't really expect it by Din d'oraisa. That's what Bali Atosis said. Number one, there's no karis. And it doesn't seem like the Gemara is not presenting the drushes as though they're real drushes. Keneged me, what is the correspondent? It doesn't sound like something like a drush gemur. Plus, what do you do with the content of the dinim? All these exceptions, it sounds like we're dealing with dinim d'rabbanan. So that's the approach of Bali Atosis. Tosis Yishanim in the bottom of the first Amud of Yuma, Bali Atosis elsewhere. The standard approach among the Chachmei Ashkenaz is that Shari Nuyim and Yom Kippur are d'rabbanan. And the Sephardic approach appears to be that it is d'oraisa. There is some machlokas as to what the Rambam holds, but the simple, I think Radamak and Mishnah, if I remember correctly, dispute this. The simple reading of the Rambam sounds like it is a din d'oraisa, but not a lav. The lav, the iser, the lav of eating, the lav of inui, that's only not to eat. But there's a mitzvah of Shabbason, which is more expansive. That's another one of the drushes that the Gemara has in the last parak of Yuma for the Shainuim is Shabbosah. And Shavos, the Rambam seems to understand that is a din d'oraisa. I think we spoke earlier in the year about Shabbosah by Shabbos. The Rambam in Parak Chaf Aleph Halacha Shabbos, the Ramban and Amor, that's more expansive. Yeah, the lav is not to do malacha on Shabbos, and then Shabbosah means you have to fill in the gaps. Make sure that Shabbos stick, not just to maintain the letter of the law, but maintain the spirit of the law as well. See, here as well, the Rambam seems to say Shabbos, and that's a mitzvah d'oraisa that includes both being shovitz from eating and drinking, and more generally being shovitz from certain pleasures. And what do you do with the fact that explains there is a pasuk, not a lav, but there's a pasuk, and I say, and that's why there's no kares, so that works well. Ooh. In terms of the exceptions, so the Ran has a very fascinating idea. The Ran says, the Torah, this is a rare type of din d'oraisa where the Torah was so ambiguous. The Torah tells me there's a din, but it's so ambiguous about what it looks like. And like almost like overtly in your face ambiguous. You have to be mis'aneh. What does that mean? The Torah keeps saying, you better make sure you have your inui. Don't lose the inu. Better make sure you have the inu. Be shovis from the inu. What does that mean? So the Ran says, whenever you have a situation where you have a din d'oraisa, but the Torah is being like overtly, intentionally vague, that's sometimes an indication to us that Chazal are supposed to fill in the details. Where he calls lo masara kasu el chacham. The Torah is, you have a din d'oraisa where the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it over to the chachamim to work out the parameters, what are the details of what exactly is included in the din d'oraisa. But whatever they choose, so they may formulate it in a drabbanan style, but it's binding min ha-Torah, because they're filling in the details of the din d'oraisa. It's rooted in a Gemara in Chagiga, which the Sfaradi Rishon read the same way in terms of meleches chol hamoed, similar machlokas. Ashkenaz Musar does the meleches chol hamoed drabbanan or d'oraisa. Once again, you have all these exceptions, it's mutter makam davar ha'aved, it's tzarchei rabim, and so on and so forth, five or six different situations under which meleches chol hamoed is mutter. So by Tosfos say, sounds like the whole list is only drabbanan. The whole drabbanan, and they Chazal built in all these kulas. And the Sfaradi Rishonim say, no, it's an issa d'oraisa, but The Torah is very clear that there's a low level, there's a much lighter Isser Melacha and Chol Moed, without telling us what it is. But Shmelacha Shabbos, you have the Pesukim of Vayikra, Dumi, the Mishkan. Melachas Yom Tov, you have Shabbos, and you knock it down, because the Pesukim Bo tell you, Acha Shari Yechel Chol Nefesh. But Chol Moed is even less, with no clues. What does it mean? Vague, with no clues? L'masar Kaz L'alach L'chol. The similar focus Svarim Ashkenazim by Melechas Kol Hamoed and by Shari Inuyim on Yom Kippur. That's why you're allowed to why? You're not allowed to eat or drink because you're uncomfortable. I'm allowed to wash my hands. My hands are dirty. I have the right to wash my hands. He might say, okay, well, my head is not clear. I'm feeling a little fuzzy. If I have a drink, I'll be clear. It works by rechitza. Why doesn't it work by achila or shtia? The answer is no. Achila or shtia. Rechitza might be drabbanan, even if it's daraisa, lamasar kas velachachan. And Chazal said rechitza is only usher if it's shel tanuk. And default rechitza is shel tanuk. So if I wash my hands, either because I take a shower, I feel refreshed, it's done. Washing up is forbidden. Unless it's to remove a particular physical or metaphysical type of dirt. My hands are dirty, physically. I fell in the mud. A guy falls in mud, he's muddy all over, so he's allowed to take a shower, to get the mud off, even in Yom Kippur. Or his hands got dirty, his hands got soiled. You're feeding your little brother, your little sister. Now your hands are all sticky with ketchup. Okay, so you're allowed to wash the ketchup off. But stop just to wash or metaphysical dirt. I want to wash negavas when I wake up in the morning. That's also mutter to the minimum extent. But default rechitza without a particular type of problem that I'm removing. So that's assumed. That's considered to be rechitza shel tainug, and that is forbidden. And one more point to that: if you are a kohen or a levi, it's important to know that for duchening. Although you've learned since childhood that when you wash Neglevasser over the course of Yom Kippur, whether it's Nitzilas Daim Shachris when you wake up in the morning, when you come out of the bathroom, it's only until the knuckles. That's not true for Nitzilas Daim before Nisiyas Kapayim, before Duchin. Then you have to wash to the wrist. That's because there's a machlokas rashitosis in general, how far you're supposed to wash Nitzilas Daim. Nitzilas Daim for bread, Nitzilas Daim. So, general Nitzilas Daim. Because the Gemara says it's until here, until that joint, which is that joint. So Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, is it that joint or that joint? Exactly. Is it the knuckles, the end of the fingers, not including the palm, or is it the wrist, including the palm, right, one over? Because the Gemara says you wash generally until this time is till here, but Kohanim wash until here, the net one joint over. So Machlokes Rishonim, does that mean that normally for Nitzilas Yadayim you wash until the knuckles, you just wash your fingers, and Kohanim also have to wash the palm, you have to go all the way to the wrist? Or no, normally Nitzilas Yadayim is until the wrist, and Kohanim will wash until the elbow. So Mikra didn't really hold until the knuckles, but we recommend be Machmer. Better to be Machmer all year long, Nitzilas Yadayim, instead of just going, regular Nitzilas Yadayim, instead of going to the knuckles, should be to the wrist. You wash until just your fingers, you would say, but better would be if you have a Baruch Hashem. Nowadays, we don't. It's rare that unless you're going camping, or unless there's some natural catastrophe, it's rare that we lack water. Back in the old days, people were schlepping the water up the hill from the well, which was obviously in the valley. That was very challenging. So then sometimes you would follow the Ikar Adin and just wash minimally. But now, running water. Not an issue. See, nowadays, we always wash Nitzilas Yadayim until the wrist, except in Yom Kippur. It's only rushing to the wrist for Nitzilas Yadayim in the morning. It's only a chumrah. In Yom Kippur, there's a counter pressure of rechitza shel tzarach is not permitted. So we just go back to the basic tzarach, which, assuming your hands are clean, the person comes out of the bathroom, his hands actually got soiled. Obviously, you wash your hands to be however much you need to make sure your hands are clean. But if it's just for halachic purposes, then you only wash till the knuckles, because in the Ikra Din you only have to wash till the knuckles. But if you hold, you only have to wash till the knuckles for everything else, that means you have to wash till the wrist for Neglevasa. We're not Machmir all year long to wash till the elbow. I have not yet found Levium who have offered to washed till my elbow, nor have I ever seen kohanim who have rolled up their sleeves that far. But it's true all year long that getting to the wrist for the kohanim is not the chumrah. That's ikar din. It's important all year long that the water shouldn't just go halfway across the palm. And even Yom Kippur, since that's ikar din, that's necessary. And Shulchan Aruch talks about chinuch on fasting. As far as I can tell, an urban legend about the three fasts before. I'm not really sure where that comes from. The Mishnah in Yuma Daf Pei in the last parak Daf Pei Beis Amaral talks about chinuch tana betanis, and the Gemara interprets it further, and the Gemara understands that for the year or two before Bar Bas Mitzvah. A year or two before Bar Bas Mitzvah, you fast a whole fast, depending on how strong the kid is, a year or two. And for the year or two before that, you already start to fast part of the day. Assuming that's not a health concern. Yeah. There's much more to say about Yom Kippur as well. Let's spend a couple minutes talking about Sukkot. There's so much to say about Sukkot. So much to say, so little time. Yeah. I'll tell you. Following. Shulchan Aruch quotes from, let's not talk about Sukkah Ksheira, the Chepza, let's talk about the Maisa Mitzvah, the Yeshiva B'Sukkah, which is the topic of the last couple of Lah, the second paragraph of Sukkah. The Braisa tells us that you don't only eat and drink and sleep in the Sukkah. The Braisa says, ideally, Teshu came to do, you're supposed to live in the Sukkah. You eat and you drink and you sleep and you learn and you're metayel basukkah. Tanam Aram tells you don't do. There's a sukkah supposed to be. It's not supposed to be your kitchen. It's not supposed to be your bathroom. But it is supposed to be your bedroom and your living room and your dining room. What does it mean? You're metayel basukkah. The learning, I hear. The sleeping, the eating, the drinking. But to metayel basukkah, what does it mean? To metayel basukkah, you take a hike in the sukkah. How big is your sukkah already? You go to teal. Or you fit a whole mountain. You have a whole nature trail inside your sukkah. What does that mean? You're metayel basukkah. You have an amusement park in your sukkah. So the answer is we use teyul to mean going on a trip, but teyul apparently the Tanam use it to mean to have a good time, to have fun. So the Tanam tells us supposed to have fun in the sukkah. Obviously, if you want to go on a hike, it could be hard to do that in a sukkah. It's a very large sukkah. You wouldn't do go on a hike in your house either. But there are plenty of things, the sorts of things you do in your living room, in the den, in the basement, you're supposed to do them in the sukkah. So if you would play chess, if you would play a game, if you would call a friend and schmooze, so you're supposed to do that in the sukkah. Chafetz Chaim points out, there are those who said, you have to speak, you have to make sure to speak Lashon Hara in the sukkah, because it takes you came to do it all year long. Speak Lashon Hara in the house, it's not going to work. You're not going to yotze unless you speak Lashon Hara in the sukkah. The Chafetz Chaim point, that's obviously absurd. You're not supposed to speak Lashon Hara in your house or in the sukkah. All year long. So if you're on your phone, you shouldn't be on your phone doing inappropriate things in the house or in the sukkah all year long. But doing appropriate things, connecting with people. So the sorts of things you do to relax, to enjoy, you're supposed to do in the sukkah. That's not food prep, and not leaving the dirty dishes there, but the old Dvar Mechubadim, supposed to happen in the sukkah. There's a very fascinating Bach. The Bach is worth causing. The Bach understands, based on the tour, that there are three areas of halacha where it's not enough just to have in mind that I'm doing the mitzvah, but understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing. The Bach believes it's critical to mekayim mitzvah. Kavanas tam ha-mitzvah, the Bach thinks, is critical by three mitzvahs. Because three areas where three mitzvahs where the tour spends time explaining the reason why. Sukkah, tzitzis, and tefillin. And what the Bach suggests is what's common to all three is the word lamam. The Torah doesn't just say, do this. The Torah says, do this so that you will think about that. Lamad, put on tzitzis, lamad tizkru. Put on tefillin, lamad tiyatar Hashem b'ficha. Sit in the sukkah, lamad yeyudar oseichem. So part of the mitzvah, it's part of the maisa mitzvah. That's a radical idea of the Bach. Part of the maisa mitzvah is not only the sitting in the sukkah, but the thinking about that this reminds us of how HaKadosh Baruch took care of us in the Midbar and how he continues to take care of us. It is the Tzil of the Meimenusa. Sukkah is a shelter that's meant to inspire us to greater Emunah. We should talk to Bizocha. To grow in our Emunah, grow in our Kirvas Elokim, Miyira Umeyava, over the course of Yom Kippur. And may Alva Yisera over the course of Sukkot. Well, Mircham will come back from Sukkot. We'll have to talk a little about Simchas Yontif. We had time to look at the last few Rambams in Hilchos Lulav, the last four halachas. Very, very fascinating.